Welcome to New Life Church teaching titled Glory Revealed. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I want to introduce a teaching, and I'm hoping it's in the, it's with the song that, what's the name of that song? Was that last one, that new one? Revive Us? You Revive Me. Wasn't that incredible? That new song that our worship team led us in this morning, You Revive Me. And it, you know, our worship is prophetic in nature. When King David did the Psalms, he was prophesying. And he, sometimes he praised the Lord, sometimes he thanked the Lord, sometimes he just worshiped God, you know, for who he is. And there was times he just bellyached in song. I think David in some of his Psalms made good country music on how bad he was doing. But yet he sang it all to the Lord. And somehow or another, God counted it all as joy to his ears. God enjoys conversation. Joy, God created us to fellowship with him, good and bad. God has created us. And as God's created us to be in relationship with him and to experience who he is, he has some revelations for us today that I want to share. I'd like for us to consider. I think it's already happening. What I'm going to teach on is I'm just teaching on what I feel like is happening. And do you like my little picture up there? Isn't that cool? All right, here's my scripture I've got to go with it. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with what? The glory of the Lord. Now, this is a conversation between Moses and God. And this is where Moses was bargaining with God to not wipe out Israel. Isn't it good to have an advocate with God? God has his justice and it must be satisfied. His justice demands to be satisfied before he can go forward. So Moses stood instead for Israel and bargained with God. And he said, listen, God, you're going to give us a bad reputation if you wipe us out. Everybody's going to say that you're a bad God, that you're a mean God. But God's justice, his personality demands the justice. Our type of Moses today, of course, is Christ. We have an advocate. Somebody say glory. We have an advocate sitting on the right hand of God the Father, daily making intercession for you and me. I'm sure God's looked down towards Stony Point a time or two and said, I'm going to wipe him out. Jesus says, wait a minute, Lord, wait. The blood's been applied there. We have an advocate. But God had as an advocate with Moses and with Jesus. He made a deal with them. Oh, come on, Lord. I got to get further than 3 minutes. He made a deal with them. That deal was, God made a deal with Moses. I won't wipe him out, but Moses, I tell you what, just as sure as I don't wipe him out, I promise you I'm going to fill my earth with my glory. He made the same deal with Jesus. He said, okay, Jesus, I'm not going to wipe him out. Listen, we had to have an intercessor. We had to have an advocate or God had wiped us all out. So we've got an advocate. Same deal. Okay, Jesus, I won't wipe him out, but I'm telling you, I'm going to fill my earth with my glory. Here's what happens as God's made that declaration. Here is what actually happens. This is what I call the spiritual science of what was happening with those transactions. The presence is the beginning of glory. Now, in our worship services, we feel his presence. What happens with me if I'm getting ready to say something that I know is just this side of the word of the Lord, sometimes it kind of overtakes my voice a little bit. And believe it or not, I ask the Lord to make me stronger that doesn't happen. But sometimes it just kind of overcomes you a little bit. And you know it's the presence of the Lord. I'm not trying to put on a show. I might say, Lord, hold me back. Let me talk here. But it's sometimes the revelation of the truth is so great that His presence in the truth is a little overwhelming. So that's what we call the presence of the Lord. The day you became born again, the presence of the Lord was overwhelming to you. And He spoke to you. Glory is the visible presence of God. Now I'm speaking about the presence is the beginning of glory. And we have experienced the presence of the Lord here. And we've constantly experienced the presence of the Lord here. But glory is the visible presence of God. A few Sundays, we've had situations where the worshipers, our worship team was leading us in worship. And I started hearing the congregation almost over the worship team. Y'all remember that? Now, worship team, I'm going to ask you, when that happens, y'all need to do like John the Baptist. You need to pull back. You need to diminish that the glory will come forth. I'm not saying you quit your music, but I'm saying you pull the mics back. Because you're beginning to hear the voice of many waters. It's in Revelation. I'll teach you sometime. When the glory corporately starts coming up in the people of God, you see, the leaders are leading us to get there. But if it gets there, then y'all pull back. I'm not saying you quit, but you don't want to be a distraction to the Holy Ghost coming forth collectively in God's people. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying we manufacture that because we don't. But it's happened here twice at a level that I could hear over here. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, all of a sudden, you can feel it and say, oh, here it comes. Now, what that is, it's a collective presence. The presence is in all of us, and you have the glory. But when you get a congregational present, all of a sudden, it comes. You start hearing it. It's what it's called the voice. It's called the sound of many waters. And you cannot make it happen. Worship team, I'm not saying, all right, y'all quit playing and see if you can hear us. That's not the way it works. All of a sudden, you can hear it. And it starts overriding, overshadowing. It's what we call the glory. This is what was on the face of Moses when he came off the mountain. You remember the story. Moses was, he got the Ten Commandments and he came off the mountain. He had so much of the glory of God on him. He put a veil over his face and all that. It was with Moses when the Red Sea parted. It was upon Samson with his great strength. It was upon Jesus as he walked the earth. It came upon the believers in the upper room. Now, I'm speaking about glory, which is you have the presence first, and then it starts moving into what we call the glory. Now, presence is subjective. What do I mean by that? Worship service, and everyone does not experience the same thing, but is the beginning of the glory. We can be in a worship service. Presence is subjective. In other words, you can be sitting there and say, you can leave church and say, boy, did you feel the presence of the Lord? And you can be right beside him and say, I didn't feel a thing. Anybody had that one? You ever been in a situation that you were really not in his presence and you say, I wish they would sit down and shut up? Anybody had that one? Yeah, you have. You know you have. Come on. You know, you're just completely out of the spirit and you say, God, touch me if you can, or something like that. So, what? It's subjective. In other words, it has a lot to do with us experiencing the presence of the Lord. It's not so much that the presence comes as much as it is we go. Ever since the veil was rent, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The question is, how tuned into the presence of the Lord are we? Now, one little side note here. You can't be tuned into yourself and the Lord at the same time. It's just an interference. That's the reason we have in the Scriptures, you need to die to selfishness that Christ might live it, because you can't run those two frequencies at the same time. So you kind of set yourself aside, and you come in here, and there again, in church today, we've got this idea that we come to church to see what God can give us, or can God join me at my job? Can God join me at my ministry? It's all about, can God join me? But the way it's in the book is we come to join God. We're trying to find out what is it that God's doing, and then we join it. So our question is, God, can I join you in what you're wanting to do? Well, this first thing here is, I can promise you the first thing, one thing, main thing God's wanting to do, he's wanting to fill the earth with his glory. Listen, a rabbit, rabbits, a dog, dogs, cow, cows, all of these animals do what God created them to do. He has created you to experience and bring his glory to the world. Anything outside of that, you will not be happy. Now just try it. The worst thing in the world to be is a saved person wanting to go back to things that you used to do to get the joy. Now you're talking about misery. It's just not there anymore. And the truth is we get scared, and I understand it, we get scared of where God wants to take us. I remind you, I am not concerned with where you have been, but whom you will become. God's saying to us today, he's not concerned to who we've been, but he is very concerned to who we're going to become. Are we going to become an agent in which God totally pulls off that promise he made to Moses? Now, glory is objective. Worship services, and everyone experiences the same thing. When glory, when presence starts equating into glory, it's like one way you can is you can tell all of a sudden, you can hear this worshiping coming up out of the congregation. Here again, it's called the sound of many, it's the many waters of the book of Revelation. It goes on in heaven. And every now and then you can hear it hit the earth. You can't really tell who's what singing what, but all of a sudden you hear this sound, it's bigger than the ones that's, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden here, it's like, where is that? Is it there? Is it there? I'm just wanting everybody to hear, cool it, let's find out where this thing's coming from. Because I know what's happening. This, what's happening in the heavens are beginning to reflect here on the earth. And it's through us, God's people, that reflection is given. Now, we shift from spiritual impressions to physical manifestations. And what I mean by that is, like the sound of many waters, or I have actually been into a situation, it hadn't happened to me but twice in my life, that I've actually seen a glory cloud, a physical manifestation of a glory cloud of the Lord. It's happened to me two times, scared the bejeebies out of me two times. And I'm not here bragging on that because I'll be very, very honest. It scared me to death both times it happened. I closed my eyes. I knew it was there. I could feel it. I could see it. It scared me. I kind of peeked one eye. It's still there. It's just, honestly, I peeked for like 3 or 4 minutes. I was just like, am I going to die? But you have this awesome recognition of what's happening. It's when the glory's there. And when it happens, the only thing you want to do is fall on your face. Any human contribution goes against it. We don't need a word of prophecy. We don't need anybody jumping up, giving a prophecy, saying, I got a word. When the glory's there in that way, you won't fall on your face. That's your contribution. That's what happened with them in the tabernacle also. I'm talking about true glory. I'm not talking about something made up by man. I'm just saying I want us to be able to recognize perhaps some of what's happening around us and perhaps maybe more will happen. I don't know. The glory is what happened when the cloud filled Solomon's temple, 2 Chronicles 5. Everybody saw the cloud. Glory became an object of reality in the physical realm. On the day of Pentecost, every one of the 120 heard the mighty rushing wind, and they experienced the dimensions of glory together. When glory comes, all flesh shall see it together. It's in Isaiah 45. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's the difference in the presence and the glory. When we come together and we have a collective presence, if God so desires, I'll be honest with you, if you see it once in a lifetime, you've seen more than most. The glory of God is not just a very common occurrence. You can't go to Walmart or anywhere else and see it nor get it. It's not that common of an occurrence. The presence of the Lord is, And we feel like when we've reached the presence of the Lord that we're blessed with that, and we truly are. I'm just saying there's something on the other side of presence. And that is totally done. It's not because we jump through a hoop right or we do something. It's just totally a choosing of God for whatever He's wanting to do. When glory comes, all flesh shall see it. And it says, all flesh shall see it together. Now, the church was birthed in glory in Acts 2. God birthed the church in glory. Trevor has been teaching on that Sunday mornings. In Acts 2:2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Not only did the church have His presence, but it was created to have what? The church was created to have glory. Now, you've got to understand, Genesis chapter 1, God created man, created him out of what? Out of the dust of the earth. And then what did He do? He breathed into him. Now, there's two breathings in your Bible, two breaths. The second one was day of Pentecost. Your second one was day of salvation. So you had an original birthing, Genesis chapter 1, God breathed and gave it physical life. When you were born again, God breathed in you and gave you spiritual life. It was your second breath. We sang in this song that I loved, Revive Us, or what the name was again, Revive Us, Revive Me, or something. And it spoke, you know how it was speaking about the breath? Remember the last verse there? It kept doing the breath of the Lord, the breath of the Lord, yet He would breathe upon us. And I, to some you could say, well, Alan, that just doesn't make sense to me. What are you talking about, the breath of God, the breath of God? I will be very honest with you. Let me explain it to you. I have no idea what it means. I just know the Bible says it, and it means something. And I want it. That's all I know. To have the breath of God means that you're more alive after you get it than you were before you got it. So does anybody want to feel more alive than you are right now? Okay, you need more breath. That's all I know. And we ask the Lord for it. We press the Lord for it. See, you've got to understand something. In the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they got their breath of life, and then they sinned. Then they hid themselves and ran around hiding. They were in trouble. You see, let me share this with you. This is to somebody, I don't know who. You don't have to run after God because He's looking for you. Just praise the Lord right there. You don't have to run after Him, just stand still. You'll run smack dab into Him. Listen, in the garden, God looked for them. They didn't look for Him. God looked for them in their sin. Aren't you glad? I've had people tell me, say, well, God left me. I say, well, that's not so. He can't. He's always running after you. What do you think you're sweating about? It's good news to us that He's looking for us. And there's a reason He's looking for us. Because He's going to do something with you. Not only did the church have His presence, but it was created to have His glory. Isaiah, even everyone that is called by My name, for I have created him for My what? Glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Exodus 33, if you were pleased with Me, teach Me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, what? My presence will go with you. The presence of the Lord. He declared, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Now listen to me, church. God's presence is with you because He's pursuing you. What we contribute to that spiritual equation is we say, yes, Lord, I know You're here with me. He's not concerned with who you've been, but with whom you will become. He's after us. He's after you. Just give it up. I've tried it. I've tried milking cows and everything else. I thought I'd even get me a Harley and run off, but I'm getting too old now. Moses said to him, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And after God shows us he is pleased with us, his presence, then we may ask to show the glory. So what happened was, in Exodus, then he said this, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, which was his presence to go with him, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Do you know how I know that the Lord is pleased with you? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. God says he is now pleased with us. It's not your behavior. You can't behave good enough for his presence. The cross of Christ has given us legitimate experience to the presence and the glory of God. That's what it's done. And he goes on to say, the glory, now I want you to see this. The glory of God comes in degrees. It's in 2 Corinthians. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it, while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has been removed because only in Christ is it what? Is it taken away? Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers her hearts. But whenever everyone turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces, all reflect what? Reflect what? Wow. When we reflect the Lord's glory, are being what? Transformed. When we reflect the Lord's glory, we are being what? I am not concerned with who you have been, but with whom you will become. With who you're going to be transformed. Where did I get to? Are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. Do you see that? Which comes from the Lord, who is what? So we see here that the glory is doing what? It's increasing. Turn the air conditioning back on there, please, just a little bit. I'll have to speak over it, but it's getting warm in here. I got two with one eye drops going on. Okay. The glory increases as it's being poured out. Now, as we go from repentance to repentance, we are going from glory to glory. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a what? A glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see repentance cleans up space on our hard disk drive for more glory. I mean, God's not wanting you to repent just because you did wrong. He's wanting more of you. When you let go of something, repent, he's got a place to put more glory. You can say, well, Alan, I'm just not really happy. Where is my happiness? I'm confused. Why can't I feel this life? I'm going to show you. Where is this light and glory within you? And from where does it come? 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. For God, who commands the light to shine out of darkness, has shined it where? What's the destination? It's our hearts to give the light of what? Knowledge of what? Glory of who? God. And where are you going to find this knowledge of the glory of God? In the face of who? Jesus Christ. So, I present you this thought. The glory of God originates, comes out of your face and not your hands. Jesus laid on hands, but the glory came out of his face. I've never seen a sourpuss anybody do anything with anybody with prayer. You know why? Because the power's in the glory, and the glory comes out the face. You can't fake it till you make it. You got to have it to give it. The power of God comes through your face. Where does Jesus come? The glory of God was in Jesus' face. You know, in all of the drawings and all the paintings and the pictures of everybody with Jesus, they didn't put a halo around his knee. Didn't put one around his hands. Put one around his face. Now, this is a spiritual truth. The glory of God comes out of your face. That's the reason the enemy is trying to create your realities to make you sad and confused and mean and mad. He just took over the glory space. You think I'm kidding, don't you? I am as serious as I can be. You know, I've got a lot of transforming to do yet. But I at least know the task that is at hand. Now, this is incredible. I just said this is absolutely incredible. God himself has shined this light, and its destination is your heart. It is an act of God, and he compares this impartation of light to the light of creation. Now, let me see if I can back up here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts. He's comparing this same light as the same light that was there when he created the heavens and the earth. That's the contextual scripture. Do you see it? He's making a comparison to this light that he sent into your heart. It's the same power and same light that he created everything with. God's put this creative light in you, and you don't think the devil doesn't want it to get out your face? Now, I know you're having a hard time with accepting and believing that that kind of creative light has been put in you. But the only reason you wouldn't believe it is the lack of exercising it. If you've been exercising it enough, it would not be a revelation. Now, it is an act of God, and he compares this impartation of light to the light of creation. Therefore, his light within you will be a creative light. Anybody bored yet? It's a creative light. Have you not noticed there's times that you can be real creative? Have you not noticed that there's times that you have a bad hour, a bad day, a bad week? Depression, everything flies apart. Do you know what precedes a great revelation of light? It's darkness. It's darkness. But my Bible tells me that my light will shine brighter the more darkness there is. Come on, let's get real with it. Have you not had a bad week? Anybody just want to kick rocks? Spit in the floor? Right? And then you'll help it a little bit. Grace, I've had such a bad week. You wouldn't believe what always happened with me. Let's just join right in there with darkness. Come on, you don't believe what's happened to me. I've been so mistreated. Now, you got to remember, this is the glory hole. And I've been so mistreated. I'm doing all this stuff coming out of my face. And to beat all, we're looking for sympathy, but everybody really wants to puke and run. That does not draw anybody. The soul tries to get somebody to pat us on the back and feel sorry for us. It's called soulless manipulation. At the barn, we call it puke. It is amazing how much transformation is yet to happen within the Church of Jesus Christ. But it is amazing how quickly we can get there. This creative light is full of the knowledge of God's glory, which is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, this glory will also radiate from your face. Now I'm telling you, the biggest spiritual property on the planet that's a battle for between the Holy Spirit and the devil is your face. It's probably news to people, but that is the real estate that is being fought for, because it is the reflection of the spirit world. Jesus had a reflection upon this spirit world through his face. Since the Holy Spirit abides within you, this glory will also abide in your face. Your face is a place of export of this glory of the light within. How does it work? How does your place of export look? Is your face a reflection of darkness, or is it a place which radiates the light of God's glory? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, I know how to serve God and be depressed. I've got her down. I can do it. Now ask me how much spiritual stuff happens. I'm real tired at the end of it, because nothing happens. Did you know that more miraculous things can happen with a good smile and hug of the glory of God than anything you say? I mean, just use words if you have to. It's your face. It radiates a spiritual language. When somebody comes up to you and they're going to correct you right good and tell you what God says, tell me how much good that does. Let's say you've had a bad day and you've run wrong, it's just all to pieces. And somebody just comes up and just gives you a good hug. Now just tell me which one does the most good. It's amazing what a good hug can do, or a smile. I had somebody ask me one time, Doug will shoot me for this, Doug Mayberry. And they said, Alan, why do you take Doug with you everywhere you go? I said, because he makes me laugh. He's happy. Going on with something all the time. And I promise you, it won't make a bit of sense about anything. But you just want to hang out with him. He's just so much fun. He knows what he got saved from. Now, you might have to be careful if you go to a restaurant and there's a dead bush, he might pray for it. You got to be careful. He loves God. He's going to pray for something. I'm not saying he's got all the Christian etiquette down just right. His first testimony, when he got done, I had to correct him for cussing. I said, Doug, now you can't do that. You got to leave them words out now. He said, well, it's the truth. I said, well, we'll work on that one. You know, the glory still comes through his face. And there's more, but I ain't going to tell it. Now, listen, you want to radiate, not agitate. There's a difference. You want to radiate the glory of God, not agitate the radiation. It's not the way it works. Did you know you could have a right answer at the wrong time? It's not about the right answer. It's about the right spirit. I've never seen anybody, I heard Dave Marquis say this. He said, Alan, I've never seen anybody fail for the lack of talent, only the lack of character. He said, give me a musician that can't half play but loves people over a person who can play every note but you don't want to be around, and I'll take the one that's got the character, not the talent. And there are schools that say, we don't talk about talent, we talk about character. If you got the character of Christ, you've heard people saying, can't hardly carry a note in a bucket, and you'll sit there and weep. What is it? It's coming out your face. It's the glory of God. So you want to radiate, not agitate. Without thinking, you can radiate through your face what is in your heart if your inner man is not hiding this glory of God under a basket. It is at this point that all of the energy or the glory is distributed through the entire body. When the glory shines, it actually produces an energy that is projected throughout your spirit, soul, and body. And this energy can bring healing to the spirit, soul, and body. Did you know that? Did you know if your face is radiating the glory of God, that that brings healing to your body? You can say, well, Alan, how can that be? Well, how can the presence and the glory of God be around something and not get healed, is my question. You say, well, Alan, what about those people that died? They got the greater glory is all I know. It's the glory of God that brings healing. When this energy reaches higher levels and cannot be contained, it then seeks an exit, which is through your face. It's called overflow. Your presence keeps building, keeps building, keeps building, and all of a sudden it's got a leak somewhere. What comes out your face? Jesus was nothing but 100% glory of God. He was born leaking. God made a deal with Moses. He said, Moses, I'll not wipe them off the face of the earth, but I tell you what, just as surely as I let this happen, I promise you, I'm going to bring my glory to the world. What is the commissioning of the church? Do we need to look into? Do we need to participate? It is at this point that others around you may see and feel this wonderful light of peace and safety. If you had people you just like to be around. I mean, there's some people in this congregation, I've never heard them complain about anything, and they've got plenty to complain about. And I'm not it. But I like to get around those people that don't. It just encourages me. Now, they might have something to complain about, but they don't. They take the high road, not the low road. Has anybody experienced that? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not there, but I want to be. Because there's something about that that's right. Now, if you're having a bad day and need to talk to somebody, that's okay too. But I think we want it to strive that this light, see this, you got to understand, a light draws stuff. Cooking hamburgers, you got your light porch light on, draws bugs. The light of God draws humans. We draw the amount of humans based on our candle power of light. I don't think we're real bright enough in here. What do you think, Al? Need to turn up the brightness a little bit. Because it'll draw. It'll draw. We can holler Jesus all we want to. But we've got to turn up the light that's in us. This spiritual radiance will then have a drawing effect, a spiritual magnetism. You just cannot stop the effect. I didn't make that bright enough. As Jesus was walking on this earth, he could not help but draw crowds of people seeking this glory that shone through his face. His cup was running over, and the glory with the glory and the power of God. Just the presence of a person that radiates this glory and light of God will calm the most difficult situations of life. Is there anybody you just like to talk with, and after you get done talking, you don't really know what was said, but you just feel better? Do you know what's happening? You're getting delivered of demons. You wouldn't have said, yeah, if I'd said that first, would you? It's true. If we're getting delivered of demonic activity, I'm prove it to you in the book. See, the glory of God drives off darkness. And we all want to be free of darkness. And we need to be free of darkness. So as God's glory radiates out of us, and people are drawn to you, it's because there's things in your life that's maybe around you or whatever that you will get delivered from. Somebody say glory. It's huge. It's big. It'll calm the most difficult situations of life. A radiating life brings health to the person radiating as well as to those around them. A radiating life causes a pleasant atmosphere, which once again will draw people into it. When this light is covered or hidden by fear, are you with me? The power and energy which is produced will begin to fade. Now, why is fear the big issue? I believe that the basket that's hiding the light in Matthew is fear. I have a scriptural reason I came to that deduction. I believe it's the spirit. Fear is darkness. It clouds the light that's within, and it causes it to fade. Fear is an enemy of the light. It must be destroyed at all cost. When the glory begins to fade, it can cause the spirit, soul, and body to become confused, tired, and sick. Now, I'm not saying every sickness is because somebody has fear. It's not what I said, because I don't believe that. But I do know that fear can cause confusion, tiredness, and sickness. The flow of the radiant power has been interrupted, causing chaos throughout the entire body. Remember, the dark side is trying to stop the very vehicle, the very instrument that God promised Moses that he was going to fill the earth with the glory. Now, this energy produced from the glory of God within is like the sun to the body. It is the source of eternal life given to man. Just as your body needs the sun on the outside to reserve certain vitamins, so your inner body needs the inner light of God within you. It all starts with the presence of God. The first thing that will happen when you start getting mad, aggravated, depressed, you don't want to read the Word of God, you don't want to listen to anything that's worship music, you stop all of anything that'll identify with the light. Fear is the truth, has come upon you. And Satan himself, the enemy, wants to allow just darkness to come into your soul. Listen, you are worth fighting for. It's a fight. God has created you with a purpose in mind. The light is called Jesus, the Son of God. The scriptures speak about fear and how fear does not come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of what? Sound mind. God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. All of these are to be stored in the inner man to bring health. Power for the what? Spirit. Love for the soul, and a sound mind for the body. It's a sound mind filled with love and power will radiate health to the entire body. When this glory becomes individualized, one person at a time, it brings a unique spiritual dynamic in a corporate setting. Now, that's where I'm headed for. You got to look after yourself. I'm trying to get a herd of God's people together. I'm 59 years old. I've seen the glory in the congregation twice, and I'm promised a third one. And I'm going after it with all of God. Listen, you are a glory vehicle house. You are now the tabernacle of God. The reason God did all of this was for one reason. One reason alone. That is to bring His glory to the earth. A corporate light and power is then ignited, which can soften the hardest heart and heal the broken spirit of individuals, towns, entire countries, and one day the entire earth. Now listen, I spoke to you about when we're doing worship or whatever, and all of a sudden you can hear that water thing, or the people of God they're worshiping, but if, take note, it's louder than what we're doing. There's another dimension there. It's like I think it's the angels of heaven are in there with us, because it starts breaking into the earth. I promise you that healing, salvation, deliverance, when that glory hits like that, when I've experienced it, they didn't nobody go around laying hands on everybody. They didn't nobody say, well, I come up here, I'm going to pray to you, and you're going to fall down. Didn't none of that happen. When that glory came like that, bam, it happened over there. Happened over there. The only thing you need to do, oh, gosh, get down. Happened over there. Somebody got born again there. Somebody got scream out, they got healed of this. All of a sudden, God was in the house. When that happens, the only thing you got to do is get out of His way. Just worship Him. Just worship God. No man needs to draw the attention when the corporate glory of God's in the house. Your inner man is the place of this new beginning. Remember what Jesus said about the light. He said it would be radiated throughout the whole house. Now watch this. Look at it. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are where? In the what? Did you know that we're the household of God? You see, your light will help radiate this whole house. And the way it does it is through your face. Did you know that? It's through your face. It's my prayer that this house will be a house of many colors. This house will not be complete until it's filled with many colors. Because no one here can see color, we just see faces. It'll be a testimony to the glory of God. You have been invited to let your light so shine before men. The more you shine, the more energy will be radiated. Energy of courage, hope, healing, and confidence. You must be aware of the glory that has been placed within every believer. There's some sitting here today, you say, well, Alan, I know it's been a long time since I felt the glory. Just open up your face. Remember, the battleground is your face. And we're going to worship. If there's anything you need prayer of, you're welcome to come. We have people here to pray with you. If you just want to stand there and let's worship God just for a moment, we're not going to take much time. Goodness sakes alive, I ran over time. I'm going to lose my job. But I can milk in the morning, so it's okay. Let's stand and listen. I believe the word that I brought us is an invitation from God for this church to be a people that is filled with His glory. Stop waiting for the glory to come, for it is here. Let it be released through you, through your face. For those that are not kind, try kindness. For those that are critical, just try keeping your mouth shut. God will give you a new language. You can correct more with prayer and kindness than any correction. A word given love brings life. A word of criticism brings death. Listen, we can't get it right. If we could, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Jesus got it right. I go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about you? Lord Jesus, I pray as we sing this song that we will totally be revived in who you are. Dear God, let this church this day, I pray right now, I repent of, dear God, not having my face right. I repent, oh God, of what's been in my heart that causes my face to look sour, to say things it shouldn't say, to be hateful and to be selfish. Dear God, I repent right now before you that, dear God, I give my life and my body and my face to you today, that my face might be a place that you own.